Good morning. Let me get my script here. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday. This is March 24th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are on page 26 of There Is a Solution, the third paragraph down. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth through one paragraph ending with, "That was the great physician's opinion." The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Kathy P., the 12 traditions, Susan G. The readers of the text are Chanel T., Anne S.C.H., and Dana P. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for Monday, March 23rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,306. And for this morning's meeting of Tuesday, March 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,208. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Robin P. Thank you very, very much. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Kathy P. from Oregon. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do service this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's Kathy P., and she is from Oregon. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, Mo. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recover compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give service, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Susan G. She's from Tennessee. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 26 of There Is a Solution, the third paragraph down. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and it ends with that was the great physician's opinion. And now I will ask Chanel T. to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Chanel.
Thank you so much, Mo, Chanel T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater. I'm here in Washington State. That's all by the grace of God. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society, and he would have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. That was the great physician's opinion. Wow, wow, wow. And doesn't that just sound ridiculous? Doesn't it sound ridiculous? And okay, maybe I could buy it with alcohol. Maybe I could buy that if it were heroin or something. But food? Alcoholic foods? Alcoholic food behaviors? I'd have to be placed under lock and key or hire a bodyguard to keep me from eating those things, from acting out those things. That just sounds ridiculous. And yet I am of that hopeless variety, and I see it all the time and hear it all the time in these rooms on this line. The other paragraphs that are leading up to this, talking about Dr. Jung and Roland Hazard, whose parents had the money to send him to Europe and be essentially under lock and key. He had been under lock and key in sanitariums, meaning in mental hospitals. He'd been under lock and key in the sense of he was under Dr. Jung's very close watchful eye for treatment for a year, felt all sorts of confidence because he sobered up for that time, and guess what? Got drunk again before he even got home from Europe. So, you know, that's me in a nutshell as an eater. I don't want it to be me, but it is. But when you hear me say I'm a grateful and recovered compulsive eater, it's because there is this solution. There's no cure. I didn't cause it. And I cannot control it. I can't control this disease. I can't control the addiction. I can't control my mental obsession and what happens once something passes my lips. that is allergic for me, alcoholic for me. I can't control that. I've tried so many ways, so many ways. And I see people do it with their program, and I would want to too. Sure. Well, let's see. I've worked through the steps, so maybe I just won't do everything. Maybe I won't send my nightly review. I've done that. It work out well. Maybe I won't do 10 steps. Yeah, that didn't work out well for me. I've got to work all 12 steps every day. I really do. And then God does all the rest for me. My higher power, I call God, does all the rest for me. It's miraculous because I do have hope today. There is a solution. It's not a cure, but it's a solution. But I do have to do my part. God does all the rest, but I've got to do my part. And I don't have to live under lock and key. I don't have to live with a bodyguard I couldn't afford to hire. I get to live freely, knowing I still have a disease that progresses and is out to kill me, but I have a solution that allows me to live in a way that I never have, without the pull of those foods and behaviors, loving myself like I never have, loving my higher power like I never was able to, loving you. And you understand me, and I understand you, and even if no one else does, it's fine. Thankfully, Dr. Jung had some understanding, and we're going to get to one of my favorite paragraphs here soon in this whole book. Thank you. I am so grateful for this solution today. I've just got to grab onto it like my life depends on it. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bo, you're muted. Mo, you're muted.
Good morning. Hello. Thank you, Chanel. I don't know how. Anyway, those things happen. Anyway, thanks, Chanel T, for getting us started. That was great share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this third paragraph on page 26?
Julie B. Kyle? Again.
I heard Julie B. Who was after Julie B?
Kaya.
Kaya? I got you, Kaya. Kaya.
In Illinois.
Bonnie.
I heard a gentleman. Was it Paul? Paul R., that was a good guess because I heard you. Who else?
Donna B.
Donna B.,
yes,
got you,
Paul.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Hi. Donna B. Anyone else?
Michelle A. C.
Michelle A. C. I have Julie B., Haya S., I think it is, Paul R., Dana B., Donna B., and Michelle A.C. Anyone else?
Nancy L.
Nancy L. All right, we'll stop there. Good group. And everyone else, please mute except Julie B. Good morning, Julie. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Mo. Thank you. And thank you, everybody. This is Julie B. from Oregon. Compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I remember reading Jung in college, you know, in psychology classes and then again in literature classes, but I really didn't know that he had this kind of connection to AA and therefore OA. So that's really cool. When he tells the guy, like, the only hope for you is jail, I've been there. I've been in jail. And by that, I mean, I was in Weight Watchers. I was subscribed to MediFast, where I ate these really crappy little freeze-dried meals three times a day. I was in a program where I injected myself with, I don't know, some kind of pregnancy hormone or something. I can't remember what it was. I have asked my daughter, please, please, please don't let me go to Starbucks. Please, I've made her into my jailer. And of course it doesn't work, because the minute you open the door and walk away from that jail, you collapse and you fall apart because you haven't developed the muscles and the strength and figured out the support system and the higher power that can guide you. So that's why it doesn't work. And so now with OA, I have the freedom to eat whatever I want. I could sit down right now and eat a chocolate cake if I wanted, but I'm learning how to trust my higher power and use my higher power and the tools of this program. And abstinence is just a tool. It's not the end goal. I'm using all of that support to heal from the inside out so I don't have to go back to those jails again. So I'm so grateful for this program, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That is Julie B., and she's from Oregon. Up next is Haya S. I think it's S, Haya, followed by Paul R. Good morning, Haya.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Unmuted? Okay, great. So
yeah.
I'm from Illinois, Chicago, and I'm very grateful to be here today, and I'm grateful that I'm abstinent today, and I'm grateful that I had this program. I remember being told years ago that about the tools. And I was reminded that the tools is not the recovery. I went to meetings and then I ate. I made phone calls and I ate while I was. I read books and I constantly. The tools don't keep us abstinent. The tools are ways that. The point is we have to work the steps. Live in the steps, live in steps 10, 11, and 12, and that will be our recovery, that will be our reprieve from this illness. So I'm back in beginning abstinence. I have about a week now, and I want to mention that the change in living is before I work the steps again, is to live in gratitude. I'm learning to be grateful. And I was given an exercise to do, to be grateful, think of the things I'm grateful for, and then what my reaction to when someone did something nice for me, when God did something nice for me. And I realized that my attitude was not gratitude to that person or to God. It was, I'm glad I got that. I'm glad I got that. I got what I wanted. So that's the message that I got for today, is that I can develop that gratitude. I can develop the understanding that God is all-powerful, and He takes care of me. And when I live with that attitude and I work the steps, I could stay in spiritual condition, but right now I'm not in fit spiritual condition because I realize when I'm grateful, it's always because I got something, and it's not for me to really, and I'm learning to be really grateful to the people around me, grateful to my program, grateful to the people who are giving me so much, and want to give back. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Haya S. from Illinois. Up next is Paul R., followed by Donna. I'm sorry, I see it. Donna B. Good morning, Paul. Press star 1 to unmute, Paul.
Good morning. Hi, good morning, all. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. And thanks for everyone for the service and participating in a meeting. I'm a real compulsive overeater. Love to remind myself because I forget really easily. Love this paragraph. I had so many nights. I mean, I lived my life through, my time is at night. And, I wished so many times to, like, from 8 p.m. until 8 a.m., somebody can just stand on the door outside of my room and just lock me out and just not get me out. Please, please. Because that was just my time. Not my time, that was my obsession's time, and it was just coming, and it's like, all right, now our time, let's go. Now you can go. It's just so powerful and cunning and baffling, and like, I thought that is like, what's wrong with me? I can't deal with this. Like, there's something wrong with me. Why am I getting up in the middle of the night? Put the clothes on, getting up after a couple hours of sleep, and I'm on the way to a grocery store. What am I doing? What's wrong with me? And, you know, that self-defeating and self-beating, and like, I just didn't know what is going on. At the end of the day, today I can say it's just, there's nothing wrong with me. You know, all these behaviors and thinking, it's just a thinking, it's just an obsession of the mind, comes from me from a different angle, and it's just trying to get me like anywhere where it can. And thank God that it's like, my dependence of this power greater than myself is the most important thing. And I, you know, like the routine that I have and the practices that I practice today to get into prayer and meditation, get into step 11 and read 86 to 88 and actually devoted to practice those throughout the day, pause when agitated and doubtful. And I got agitated and doubtful like many times, but definitely getting less and less. I review my day. Like I started reviewing my day in my last relapse because it was just like I just have to take my inventory because it's my inventory. Whatever is outside of inside, it's not my business. I'm powerless, but I'm powerful over how I practice these principles in all my affairs, and I'm powerful, and you know, I God is not going to do my job well. I have to do His job well, and I have to do that every day. There's no day off, and I'm here. Thanks for letting me to share. Real pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Paul R., and he lives in California. Up next is Donna B., followed by Michelle A.C. Good morning, Donna. Sorry, I was mispronouncing your name.
No problem. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, hence the mispronunciation. I'm calling from Denver. I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And what strikes me as really important about this paragraph is that the person providing the judgment is a physician. And I think in general, many people respect physicians as highly trained, highly experienced, highly regarded professionals that provide us with really helpful information in the realm of illness and recovery from those illnesses. But in this case, the doctor's judgment is actually wrong. It's incorrect. His judgment that the disease of alcoholism is utterly hopeless and there's no way for him to have a normal life ever again, and he might be able to regain his position in society if he has a bodyguard. All of those judgments are incorrect. They're wrong. And it's not because this doctor is dumb or stupid or lacks knowledge. It's because he lacks experience. He himself is not an alcoholic. He's not an alcoholic who applied the principles of this program to his own personal life. He doesn't have his own story of recovery. And so for me, my hope in recovery comes from the compulsive overeaters that came before me and can tell me, I was once like you, and this is what I did to get to where I am today. And it's so critical for me in my recovery to have those messages of hope over and over and over again. Because otherwise I fall prey to the judgments of people who are not experienced and unfortunately carry a lot of misconceptions. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Colorado. Up next is Michelle A.C., followed by Nancy L., and after Nancy, I'm going to take another lineup of names. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater, and all the other things, too, in Boulder, Colorado. Something new hit me listening to this paragraph this time, and I think it's partially because my relationship with my higher power has been getting stronger and stronger over the last few months. And what hit me was Dr. Jung is still saying you need a power greater than yourself to cure this, to control this disease. And he's suggesting that a bodyguard, right, is a power greater than yourself to Roland Hazard. And he's not entirely wrong. We do need a power greater than ourselves. And for me, I think I had a fantasy deep in the food that if I was like a movie star and I had somebody cooking these healthy meals for me, for all of my meals, like I had a private chef, I would be fine. I would eat what was put in front of me. I would eat it with joy and gladness and gratitude, and I would be thin and happy. And it's completely not true. But that was my belief. And I think that was my belief every time I looked at a power greater than myself to cure the way I ate, my food, my body, my eating behaviors, my, you know, my shame. I looked outside of myself to a power greater than myself. People list them all the time in terms of pain ways, lotions and potions, procedures, all the things. But those are all powers greater than myself. The problem is that none of them are really the solution because they can only exert power over us for as long as we choose to give it to them, right? The use of will. And I just had read part of the 10th step with the sponsee yesterday, and we were talking about the right use of will to turn our lives over to the care of a higher power. And that actually is the solution. That gives me the emotional sobriety, the recovery I need to stand in the face of this disease with my higher power and with love and do something different, which I couldn't do by myself, and I couldn't do with a bodyguard, and I couldn't do with an outside program or plan or anything. And so it's interesting that Jung knows that the solution is a power greater, not surprising, he's Carl Jung, but that, and then he knows that we need to have a spiritual experience, which we're going to be told relatively soon too. And yet putting those two together takes, you know, it takes a lot. It takes the program. It takes God's intervention. It takes Bill and Bob, all these things. But it just really hit me like, oh, I've always known that. I just didn't know the other part. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Michelle A.C., and she's in Colorado. Before I take Nancy L., let me remind everybody where we are. We are on page 26 of There Is a Solution, the third paragraph down. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth through one paragraph ending with, that was the great physician's opinion. And after Nancy, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Mo. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, gratefully to be recovered today. By God's grace and mercy, 100-pounder. Welcome, newcomers. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. I remember that feeling many times, but the most profound time was when I had this really great idea. You know, I was just this chronic night eater, and I came up with this brain idea that, and it was just my own idea, and oh, if my husband will just do this, I'll be better. So one night we're laying in bed and I said, I'm a chronic overeater, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to go about asking? And I said, dear, I was just wondering if you could do me a favor. And he's like, sure. I said, well, I was wondering if you could just put a padlock on our bedroom door. And then that way, because sometimes I like to get up and eat at night. It's not sometimes, it was every night. And, you know, he just rolled over and just made some kind of like, groan, whatever, like, here she goes again. And so I didn't get the padlock on the door like I wanted so bad. I always had some kind of a gimmick or a defense. You know, there's, oh, this will work and that will work. I had a sponsor once tell me, Nancy, something to the effect, if you even would have had your desires, like the lock on the door, you would have found a way. Maybe you wouldn't have gone out the window because we were on a two-story house. That wouldn't have worked very well. But, you know, I would have probably just been a afternoon eater or a middle of the morning eater. This disease does not take breaks. This disease does not follow after the addict's tricks. This is a disease that is coming powerful and baffling. And I'm grateful I have the solution today, one day at a time. And that's the principles of this program and the fact that I work like my hair's on fire. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Nancy L. from Arizona. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina G.
I heard Christina. Great. I think was that Freya Larry H. J.
Larry G.
Oh, Larry. Larry J. Larry G. Freya.
Freya.
H. Yeah, I got you.
Lou Ann.
Aaron G.
I heard Lou Ann and somebody after Lou Ann. Who was that?
Aaron G.
Karen? Is that a Karen?
Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah. Got it. Sorry.
Thanks. No, fine.
Oh.
Yeah. Haleo, New Jersey.
All right, I'll take you, but we may not get to you. That was Kelly. What was your last
name? Haleo, New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. All right, let's stop there. I have Christina J., Larry G., Freya H., Luann C., Aaron G., and Kelly O. I might not get to all of you, but thank you for signing up, and if not today, tomorrow. All right, everybody mute except Christina. Christina J., good morning. Christina, press star 1 to unmute.
Hey, Mo, I'm here.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, thank
you. That's Christina. You were a little garbly.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
You know, I was recently reading through some journals of mine from years and years ago. Full journals of me begging God almost every day, please help me. I don't know how to do this. This is way back, you know, 40 years ago. And it went on and on. No doctor ever told me that I needed to have a bodyguard. No doctor ever told me the whole truth because I didn't ask. And if I did go in for diet pills or whatever, they just thought, you know, well, you need to just quit eating, right? So, you know, what told me, what convinced me, what gave me the whole truth was my relapses. They revealed to me I could not do this on my own. I tried every which way, every door, upside, downside, inside, out, you know. But I was hopeless, and this is so beautiful, utterly hopeless. This is the perfect place to be, or it was for me. I never had a position in society I needed to regain. But I had a position inside of myself that I didn't even know existed. I had a position inside of myself that I'd been running from all my life because I didn't know it was there. I was seeking outside of myself for peace, success. If I just reached there, if I just got that, if I just got thin, if I just this. Now today I know what this program has brought me to. It's an extreme peace inside that's not with me every day. I still have challenges, major ones. But it's there, and I know it's there. it brought me to this higher power within myself. Before OA, I was dreaming of the lock on the refrigerator, dreaming of, you know, therapy, dreaming of this, that, or the other. But after OA, after I got into the rooms, I knew there was no answer out there, even though I kept trying. But you see, the miracle is that God kept bringing me back to the rooms. I had the gift of desperation, which is God, right? He gave me that gift through everything. My truth is that, you know, the truth is I got nothing except for what's in this book. And this book has brought me to the truth of myself. And this place inside me that many of you may not have found yet, I certainly didn't find it. But through this book, we can find it. We can walk in peace. We don't have to push and shove. And we don't have to use the food for those uncomfortable places of fear that we're not good enough, or our loneliness, or our cravings for touch, understanding, respect, have someone adore us and cherish us. We don't have to have that anymore, because we have it inside. And God will put the people in our lives that will bring us those things. We surrender to Him, and this book brought me to that. I don't have to be hopeless anymore. I am not hopeless anymore. I'm hopeless around the food. I know I can't pick it up. I can't have those things. It's a hopeless situation. It's hopeless. I don't know what one bite is. I don't know what it means for one bite. I know you guys agree with me. I heard you, Mo. But thank you for letting me share, and I want to give special thanks out to
And we lost you, Christina. That's Christina J. I think she's from Washington. Up next is Larry G., followed by Freya H. Good morning, Larry.
Yeah, good morning to you too, Mo, and my fellows on this call. You know, one thing I love about Vision for You, and we have the structure of reading and studying one paragraph at a time, is just all the wonderful perspectives on these paragraphs. You know, and my perspective is that Carl Jung, you know, told the truth. He told the truth to Roland Hazard. And I wish that someone had done that to me early on. You know, he worked with the hopeless alcoholics, just like Silkworth. Now, Silkworth had one key to the riddle, and Jung had the other key. One was the problem, and this is the solution. And Carl Jung did have the solution, but he didn't quite understand the problem. I wish that someone told me this when I came in. And by the way, my first sponsor in A Vision for You did. I knew the truth because I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, recovered 45 years. I knew that I had not only had an allergy, but I also had the sickness of the mind. But I think we do a disservice to new people in OA, at least this is my opinion, that we take people right to the solution way too quickly without really having our new prospect totally understand what the problem is. But we're talking about the solution today, and I'm glad we are, because I don't care how many meetings I go to. I don't care if I've got it doesn't matter. If I don't see God and have a spiritual experience as defined in Appendix 2, I'm hopeless. I have no hope, just like everyone else in this call. I have to have a spiritual awakening. I have to surrender. And surrender, I can't manufacture. I can't go to a weekend course in surrender and get a certification, surrender. I can't buy a self-help book and work the self-help book and surrender. I can't say 100 mantras and surrender. It's got to be something personal between me and God. It's a phenomenon. It's a spiritual phenomenon that no one has really an answer to. And I don't know why, but on May 2020, I surrender. I don't know why, and I continue to surrender. And I'm going through right now, you know, a challenging time because I'm learning how to weigh and measure for the first time. Got an A in math in college, but can't figure out can't figure out ounces and servings and measuring. I just, you know, my brain is fried when it comes to food. I think, you know, a cup of wild rice is like in a soup bowl. Honest to God, I think some of you will also agree that. So the solution for me is surrender. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's Larry G, and he's in California. Up next is Freya H, followed by Lou A and C. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Mo. Thanks, everybody, for a great meeting. My name's Freya. I am a very grateful recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, and restrictor. Did I say I'm in Colorado? So much of what other people said. When I did not hear this message when I came into OA, and maybe people were saying it, but I just wasn't hearing it. But I feel like this whole, just the depth of our powerlessness is something that either I don't want to face, or it's just really hard to comprehend because, wait, why would I want to come into this program if people are just telling me I'm hopeless? You know, like I came here because I thought you guys had a solution and I want to, you know, let's get to that solution and get me recovered as soon as possible because I don't want to be uncomfortable. But this is such a necessary part. And after doing this for over 20 years and having over 8 years of abstinence, I'm getting this in a new way. But just the depth of my powerlessness, just the fact that I'm recover today and I have no interest or desire or plans to, you know, I don't think I have any lurking notions that I'm gonna, you know, get to control and enjoy certain eating and behaviors. But the fact is it's not up to me. You know, it's like my recovery is really not up to me. I think that's something that is starting to sink in a new way, because when I came in, it was like, well, I'm supposed to call my sponsor, you know, get a sponsor, call my sponsor, use this food, like all of these things that I'm doing. And so aren't I producing my recovery? I mean, that makes total logical sense. So it's this new territory of take the action, but I'm not actually the one producing the results. And in fact, on my own, I'm, you know, like I have no idea whether I'm going to be recovered or not. So it's like, yes, take the action, because that's how I cooperate and get in touch with this power that's going to keep me safe and protected. But it's not, oh, I did this, like, oh, I'm feeling triggered, so I'm going to pick up the phone and therefore I solved my problem. Like it's a deeper and more nuanced than that. But the message here is we're screwed. We're really screwed, and we're more screwed than we thought when we came in. Like we're going to find out that it's worse. The problem is worse. I think that's my time. And there is a solution. So we'll hang in there. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you. That's Freya H. from Colorado. Up next is Luann C., followed by Aaron G. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., and I'm really grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. I just love the first line. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. Just like boom. And I remember when I came into these rooms, I had been in OA, but you know, it wasn't this. And I remember I asked for the truth, but what I really wanted was for you to tell me, like, Luann, it's okay, you're doing your best, just keep on going, you know, just keep doing it, you know. But I'm so grateful today for the people who told me the facts. You know, for somebody who told me when I said, you know, I'm abstinent-ish, and they said, Luann, abstinent-ish is not abstinence. And, you know, for my sponsor who pointed out things in my food plan I never recognized as a problem, but she told me this is keeping you from God. And, you know, for the had picked up something and they said, you're just not getting it. You need to start over and get a new sponsor. For the people who recognize that I'm off, you know, who tell me that my thinking is off. I mean, that takes so much courage, and I'm just so grateful for all of you and to have the courage to tell someone this isn't it. You're not seeing straight. That to me is true love, to have the courage to tell someone the facts so that they're not, you know, I couldn't just stay in my brain, you know, treading water in the middle of the ocean. You know, I had facts to go on, and I'm so grateful for that, and I found that here. So if you're new, I found a solution here, and I hope you keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Luann C. And our last share for today will be Aaron G. Terry Kelly, come back tomorrow. Good morning, Aaron.
Oh, thanks so much, Mo H. This is Aaron G. from New York. And I just wanted to say that doctor was completely right. I do need a bodyguard, and my bodyguard is my God, and he's amazing. And I want to thank that doctor for telling me that, because I have to put my God shield on every day. And how I do that is by doing the steps. And they say, keep coming back, you'll get your abstinence, I think. And they say that to do your step work and that your spiritual experience will come true. So I want to thank you all, because you've helped me so much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Aaron G. Well, Kelly, I have 2 minutes for you if you would like to share. Kelly O.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? This is Kelly O.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi. Great. Cool. Kelly O from New Jersey. I'm grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I love all the messages, and the reading. I just wanted to come on in here and just like say, you know, to anybody who is struggling or hasn't worked the steps yet, or, you know, is like apprehensive and this all just seems really overwhelming. I had a lot of time hiding out in like other 12-step programs, and I just didn't believe that any higher power could touch this, you know, this compulsion, this food, problem that I had. And like, God can, and like that, like what's been said over and over again with all these shares with like Carl Jung is like, you know, it's really a gift, and it's like, it's more simple than I thought it was. And it really is about the surrender. And, you know, I found out in my fourth step, writing my fourth step and in my fifth step, you know, I was using food alcoholically, you know, to cover up like all of these, you know, what was stated, someone else shared, like fears, insecurities, you know, all this other stuff. And like, just these steps work. And I just want to just say that. And, you know, like living abstinently, like what other, just like repeating what everybody said, like, it's just the beginning. And, you know, like more stuff just gets dredged up, and like, but like, you know, God is like really holding me up, you know, or my higher power. And it's just like leaving that openness of like, when you work the steps, it doesn't need to be like your sponsor's God. It doesn't need to be the God you grew up with. It can be, you know, like what my sponsor and my grand sponsor talks about, just like love and light. And like, it just doesn't need to be as rigid as maybe you think it is. And I know that's like my disease telling me you need to be rigid. You need to be, you know, diet. That's like, my compulsive overeating loves a good diet. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Mo, for your service. And thanks everybody for your share.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad we were able to fit you in. Kelly O from New Jersey. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Anne, SCH, to please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.